In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about spiritual opposition. We often experience temptations ourselves. We know that there is a personal devil because it's on a personal level that we encounter him, isn't it? And it's a wonderfully comforting thing to me to realize that Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. We've been talking about that story in Matthew 4, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, and remember that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. I think that's important to note, that he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. So when the devil comes at you with his most subtle and powerful temptations, never imagine that God has forsaken you in allowing that to happen. He is right there, ready to help you. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. We used to sing that song in family prayers when I was a child. The first temptation that Satan came at Jesus with was to make bread out of stones. In other words, to help himself in his need. Jesus was hungry. There's no question about that. He'd been there 40 days and 40 nights fasting. So Satan approached him at the point of his weakness. Doesn't he do exactly the same thing to you and me? He knows where those weak places are in the fortress. He wanted Jesus to perform a miracle to help himself in his need. Jesus was not nearly so interested in his own needs as he was in the will of God. And so he refused. The second temptation was to prove that God was God, and surely that would be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? But Satan wanted Jesus to do it in a way that God would not want him to, a show-off act of daring, jumping off the parapet of the temple in the holy city, putting God to the test in a way which was forbidden. And now the third one, let's think about this one today, to gain the world's power and glory. George MacDonald said, "Jesus could not possibly have been tempted to worship Satan, but he might have considered taking a righteous grasp of the government, riding forth conquering and to conquer, freeing prisoners, lifting up destitute widows, comforting weeping children, beating plowshares into pruning hooks." Well, the mission of God was that Christ should be a man, a true man, and his life should become our life. So although Satan hardly can tempt us with all the world's power and glory, he can tempt us with a portion of it, can't he? Gaining something for ourselves in an evil way. Just a tiny thing like getting the credit for something that somebody else actually did. Or excusing ourselves and blaming somebody else. That's a way of preserving our own reputation, isn't it? Not admitting to a fault, not confessing to something that we've done that has been wrong. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to take a righteous grasp of the government in an unrighteous way, and all the possible results that would be good would have been a rationalization, wouldn't it? I know how subtle that is, to rationalize a step which is not wise and is not according to God's word, But look at all the good that I might do if I did this and that and the other thing. And we've seen some pretty glaring examples of Christian leaders who have been given tremendous power and have misused that power, have taken advantage of others, have been dishonest and deceitful, but always for very high-sounding ends. And I once heard a non-Christian say that the higher the self-advertised aims, the lower the means employed to obtain them. Let me say that again. The higher the self-advertised aims, the lower the means employed to obtain them. If we set our minds on high reputation, on worldly glory, on honor and power of any sort other than that which God Himself wants to give us, then we are tempted to stoop to illegitimate means of obtaining those aims. What God wanted of His Son Jesus Christ was that He should be a true man, that His life should become our life, so that we might be as free in prison or on a cross as upon a hillside or a throne, that we might learn to love and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ was still the Son of God when He was nailed to a cross. That did not in any way prevent His doing the will of God. And when it looks to us as though obedience to the Father may mean loss, death of some sort, crucifixion, whatever it may mean, that does not in any way prove that it might not be the will of God for us to walk straight into that thing that looks so dangerous. God wanted the life of His Son to become our life so that we might be as free in prison or on a cross as upon a hillside or a throne. Nothing but the obedience of the Son, obedience unto death, could have effected the Father's will. And that's true of us today. Nothing but our obedience to God can effect the Father's will. Do you ever pray glibly, "Thy will be done"? Well, it's going to involve obedience on my part, cooperation with God. Satan offered to Jesus all worldly power, but he offered it without the cross. Can you think of anything else you'd like to have in this world but power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? Well, that's exactly what Satan was offering to Jesus out there in the wilderness, and he could have had it without the cross. He could have evaded the will of the Father. Satan comes at us in the same way, doesn't he? What's the application in your life? What is he tempting you to do that looks as though it would lead to happiness, maybe to riches, maybe to honor? Whenever the end justifies the means, there's some crooked dealing involved, some flattery, some little dishonesties. Something, anything, to make things easier for ourselves, to put ourselves in a position of power in a better light. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the worship of Satan. That is exactly what it is. We would have fallen. We would have bowed down to him because we have very high self-advertised aims. That would be the serving of mammon. Mammon is simply the love of money, isn't it? You cannot serve God and mammon. We just can't do it. So whatever schemes of our own may prove successful in the world's terms, but involve disobedience in God's terms, they are, in fact, the worship of Satan. That just seems almost beyond what this passage contains, doesn't it? And yet, that is what Satan was doing. I cannot imagine that the pure and spotless Son of God could have possibly been tempted to kneel down and worship Satan, but he could have been tempted to take power for the good of others, but he was not tempted. He resisted that temptation. He said, "You shall do homage to the Lord your God and worship him alone." How do we do homage to the Lord our God? By obedience. By costly obedience. By obedience in hidden things, in secret things, that no one perhaps will ever know about but God. How much double dealing is there in churches? How much politics? I heard a story not long ago of a missionary's adultery and his misuse of funds. And when one of the leaders of that mission brought this to the attention of the others, the reply was, "But he brings in more money than anybody else." Instead of courage, strength, self-denial, and endurance, we often choose the smooth pathway. The pathway in which we're serving not our master, but our enemy. Love, remember, is the willingness to be inconvenienced. Jesus was inconvenienced. Jesus went to the cross. May God enable us today to take up our cross and follow him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.